Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
We sure are glad you joined us today, and it's always a pleasure to be able to come to you by way of radio, and we're certainly glad to have you on board. I guess we're in the political realm today, isn't every Wednesday, at least for now, while we are in this political process. Trying to get a new president in office, and boy, it sure is wild. It's a wild ride. I've never been so involved in the political process as this time. This has been, and I don't know if it's my age, you know. When you're young, you really don't get too involved in those things. Most people, anyway.
Right.
I didn't. This has really been an interesting time. I believe we're living in interesting probably is a soft word to use, but we're living in some different times for sure.
Mm-hmm.
At least it appears that we haven't had anything like this take place since the 50s, and I'm not sure what the commentators were referring to in regards to that, but it sure is interesting to say the least. And,
right.
The things that are going on, and we're going to talk about it. We're not going to just be on politics today. We're going to, I think we'd be remiss by not discussing it because of the nature of things in the country right now.
And don't forget to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. Next Tuesday,
you can do early voting all the way up to Tuesday.
Yeah, and Alabama, of course, has already voted wrongly, but no.
Yeah, well,
I say that because I have publicly backed Cruz, and I'm still backing Cruz, and I kind of maybe need to clarify that in the sense that I'm backing Cruz because I believe he's the closest thing that's there that we have running today to what the country really genuinely needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that he's necessarily the best leader. I don't believe that he's has all the answers. In fact, I'm not even certain that he can do as well, equally with Trump. I'm not sure that Cruz can do what he says that he wants to do
right.
in regards to abolishing the IRS. That sounds good. We all like that, you know. in regards to a simple flat tax, Huckabee had the same thing, basically. I'd like to be able to do my taxes on a postcard. That'd be great, wonderful. Sounds fantastic.
It sounds fantastic.
But I doubt very seriously that he's going to be able to do that. A lot of the things that politicians say, I think they know going into it, they're not really going to be able to do it. You know,
right.
I mean, it would be good. I think it would be good. I think it'd be great for that to happen. And I'm not sure how all of the other avenues would stack up, but I just don't believe it's going to happen. Those kinds of things, they make those statements for our benefit because they know it's, well, boy, well, that's something people latch on to.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to be able to think things through, you know, and be realistic about the whole process. I believe what the country needs more than anything else, more than some dynamic leader, more than a businessman, or more than a religious man.
Or even an entertainer.
Exactly. I think that what we need is the fear of God in the land. The fear of God in the land would certainly promote the right kind of leadership. And the Lord Himself would see to it that we got leadership that would cause the country to make right decisions and as a whole. And the fact that we don't have the fear of God in the land is pretty evident by, I think, what people are calling the Trump phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that evangelicals as well as physical conservatives all are voting for Donald Trump. I say all. I mean, he's got such a across-the-board segment of the population following him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a puzzle to me, but in a sense, I really believe it's rather than being a Trump phenomena, like he wants to call it,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a reflection of where the country really is. And the country for Christian people, so-called Christian people, to follow a man that really lacks on moral issues, you know, I mean, and even on conservative issues, to mm-hmm. react, to be reactionary and vote for him because of an immigration situation,
mm-hmm.
you know, or because of a physical, the problems that we have in the country, he's not going to be able to resolve those things. I mean, we're all hoping against hope. But it's like we've said here on this station many times, people are more concerned about their rice bowl than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, is where the problem comes in. The rice bowl situation will be fixed when our honoring God is fixed,
mm-hmm.
when the fear of God is just reestablished in the land, when the foundational principles of this country become evident again in the country, when we have a president who doesn't get up and boast about us not being a Christian nation anymore.
Right.
And that's basically what he did. Oh, and it was almost with glee, oh, we're not a Christian nation anymore, so therefore, we let all the pagan, heathen religions come to the forefront, and that's where the real problem is.
Gotcha.
I'm convinced in the depths of my soul that that's the major issue that we face today. And until something's done about that, it doesn't matter who gets elected.
Right.
Now, I've read some stuff, you know, I've reading after some of these guys who say that, and they say the same thing. They make a statement to the effect that doesn't matter who's in the White House, doesn't matter who's in the Congress or the Senate, that there is a, what they call a deep state, or they've got different names for it, but who people in the background who really run the country. And they're the conspiracy theorists and those type things. And there's probably some of that that goes on, no doubt. There's mm-hmm. issues. There is. There's these secret societies, and no doubt there's
no doubt it goes on.
The major money people that are behind the scenes making controlling decisions, but the real control is found from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That here's the key. Now, Satan is the god of this world, and behind every nation that really behind every nation,
mm-hmm.
there is a demonic power that really controls things. And the only way to avert those kinds of decisions being made or the evil prospering in the land is to establish a fear of God, a genuine fear of God in the land, where people honor him, respect his authority, and we live for the reasons, the purpose that he had put us here, and that is to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
He created man to glorify him. And all the nations of the world have pretty much gone the way of Satan. You know, when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because of their bad decision-making,
mm-hmm.
That's began the process. And the only way to get off the downward slope is again to honor God,
mm-hmm.
for people, especially Christians, to glorify him. And I believe that the fact of such a large, broad spectrum of the quote evangelical population backing Trump is more a reflection of where we are than it is that he's got such great answers and such popularity. You know, I can't see it. You know, so what if he's made a lot of money?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that make a lot of money, and he, along with the others, have made money by bending the rules, by working the system in favor mm-hmm. of himself. And is that the kind of president we want? I don't know about anybody else, but it's not the kind I want, you know.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know that Trump has, Cruz has all the answers either. I really don't think he's going to be able to do a lot of the things that he says he's going to do. But nonetheless, back to my point, the fear of God is what's needed in the land.
Mm-hmm.
A return to honoring God for who, even if you're not going to come to the place of trusting Christ as your Savior, just fearing God and how we deal with each other. You know, I was looking at some verses earlier about the fear of God, and you know, some of the things that it shows that where fear of God is how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that in regards to the fear of God, that we are to not abuse our brethren with interest, a financial mm-hmm. interest, taking exorbitant interest of people. Well, he says, don't do that, fear God. And then it says in regards to how we treat servants. You know, that was in the time when you had bond slaves. Number one, you couldn't take a bond slave of your brother, a brother in, you know, mm-hmm. one was considered a brother. There was a system, there was a way that a person could indenture themselves to another Hebrew in the nation of Israel. They could, and this is Old Testament principles, they could indenture themselves if they fell into poverty and had need. Then they could go and to pay off a debt, they could indenture themselves into that other individual. Well, the individual to whom they were indentured could not, if he feared God, he would not abuse them while they were in his service. Even the heathen, they were allowed to take servants of the heathen around them, those who did not worship the true and living God. But his principles were that they couldn't abuse them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always based on our respect for one another and not abusing one another. And that shows true. That there is a fear of God. When people live in such a way that it's all win and no lose. You know, success is I win, you lose.
Right.
You know, rather than trying to establish a, if possible, a win-win situation, you know, to where there, in other words, you don't have to absolutely lose for me to win, for me to be, to be advantaged. And so the fear of God is, again, respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we demonstrate our fear of God as to how we show for others. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, there seems to be more and more, or may I say it this way, less and less of a fear of God in the land, which is demonstrated by our ill treatment of one another. Even in the political realm, and you know we've seen, you know we've seen more of a food fight on some of these debates, or a dog fight, we should say,
right?
You know, rather than dealing with issues, you know, it's dealing with personality, it's dealing with a person's looks, or
right?
It's that stuff's crazy. I mean, that doesn't show. And I understand, you know, being tough in dealing with issues, but it's not being tough in dealing with personality or character traits or physical traits and that type of thing. You know, we're supposed to respect one another, and I see that failing in the land. And it's evident, again, I believe it's more evident, one of the things that's more evident in our politics today. So,
It reflects us. Our politics reflect us.
Yeah, exactly.
And it tells you a lot about what's going on in our country, what we see.
Some of those verses that I was referring to earlier, it says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray-headed person, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even respect the elderly today. You know, I think we're not far from in euthanasia. You know, we're already experiencing that, seeing that type of thing. There's one thing, and I brought this out in a previous broadcast about innocent blood.
Right.
Abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. And that's the one thing that the land will have a hard time being cleansed of, see, is the shedding of innocent blood. And if that continues down, if we continue down this same path, it won't be long before the judgment of God's going to fall on the land. It's already beginning, I believe.
Right.
And it's going to, and this election process is pretty much evidence of that. And it's a be amazing thing that if the Republicans were to fight and carry on in such a way that when you get to convention that we're left with only one option, and that would be Hillary Clinton. And God help us, Bernie Sanders, that would be an absolute amazing thing to me. I mean, it's time to start packing bags and moving to Ecuador or someplace.
I thought you were going to go to Belize.
No, I'm not going to Belize. Too many Americans going down there. It says, in other words, respecting the elderly is one of the things that demonstrates a fear of God. Not to oppress one another with interests. I mentioned that earlier. Fear the Lord thy God. And then says not to oppress one another in any kind of a way, not just with interest, but oppressing one another. So
join in on our conversation. Area code 850-994-3747, or you can go to WTGFFM.com, the WTGF app, Facebook page.
Yeah,
and
give us
all
a
that
call.
Other
while John's getting a breath,
yes.
Give us a call and join us today on the air.
been to our thrift stores lately?
Helping Hand Missions operates three stores for your convenience. 6664 Highway 90 in Pace, across from Target. 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399. And our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street, across from King's Middle School. Stop by one of our three locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Helping Hand Missions thrift stores. Helping Hand Missions now offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses. Why not see what kind of treasure you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift store in Pace, Milton, and Midway?
Culpeper Insurance Agency is a proud sponsor of WTGF Truth Radio 90.5. They're located at 6630 Caroline Street in Milton, and their phone number is 623-3601. Supplying peace of mind for your home, auto, recreational vehicles, and commercial insurance, along with life and health insurance, they are there for your needs. Help Culpeper Insurance support your Christian radio station. Thank them for making WTGF 90.5 possible in your community.
At Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, we're proud to support Truth Radio 90.5, and we would like to take this opportunity to invite all Truth listeners into our dealership in Milton, where you'll find a warm, friendly, Christian-oriented atmosphere, and where shopping for a new or used vehicle is stress-free. At Milton Dodge, we've been serving this community for well over 20 years, and we are definitely a business that you can trust. Drop by any Monday through Saturday, and we will happily take care of your needs. We're Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, and we're here to help.
La Hacienda is a local family restaurant that serves the food you love. Since 1996, La Hacienda has been serving authentic Mexican food in this community. You can come and enjoy their great food at these three locations: 6471 Highway 90 in Milton, 4601 Highway 90 in Pace, and 8086 North Davis Highway in Pensacola. La Hacienda is a proud partner with Truth Radio WTGF 90.5, the beacon of truth for your community. Todos son bienvenidos. Everyone is welcome.
And welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. Area code 850-994-3747 is the number for you to dial.
Amen. And so will you give us a call and join in the conversation today. We'd love to have you on the air with us. It always makes for an interesting, more interesting show when we have discussion time. We like discussion. And I think when people come in with discussion, brings a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of gets. Anyway, it's always good to have more than one view. And
if not, then you have to listen to Brother Dewey.
Yeah. I was trying not to say that. And here you go.
I was just pointing out facts.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Listen, those verses that I was referring to are found in Leviticus 19 and chapters 19 and chapter 25. So it has different, again, it gives a list, not a list.
Can you go over those
verses
again as we were going to break?
Yeah. Those, again, the verses at, again, 19:3, 19:14, 19:32 in the book of Leviticus. It says, "But thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and not oppress one another." And then it says, "Take no usury of a brother. Fear God." And then it goes on to say, "Thou shalt not rule over a servant with rigor." He says, "Fear thy God." So again, these are principles, and I think that even this whole business about bringing in our immigrants, this immigration situation, mm-hmm. is shown there, because I think Rubio maybe brought out about Trump, how that in one of his hotels in South Florida, they were bringing in Mexicans, people from Mexico to work there. And the main reason, though, he wanted to make it look, you know, they mm-hmm. doctor these things up, but he mainly wanted to make it look like that there was the reason for that was that nobody wanted the jobs or whatever, you know. But it really boils down to, you can kind of keep these people in bondage. They can't go anywhere else because you got them on a visa situation.
Right.
And they're controlled, you know. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff that
supposedly
goes on. Yeah, a lot of that sort of thing that goes on, and there's more abuse today than I think I've ever seen in those areas. And if you've got people that overstay their time on a visa, or they don't mm-hmm. have a green card or whatever, then there's a lot of abuse, a lot of sin. And I know this personally, because I've seen some of the things take place, And again, that to me demonstrates the real problem, a lack of fear of God in the land. And until we get back to that, we're just going to have more problems, and mm-hmm. we're going to go down. There's no question in my mind about that. And the only solution to the problems in the land today is it's not a president. It doesn't matter who we put in the White House when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. I think it does matter who we put in the White House. I believe that's part of the whole plan and situation. Because we have an electoral system in this country, our choices make a difference.
Right.
See? And so we're going to vote next Tuesday here in Florida. And our choices are going to demonstrate what we really believe, you know, and where we really are in relation to the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
If we choose a whoremonger, a person, you know, he doesn't, and again, this is Donald Trump, he doesn't drink himself, and I believe he's telling the truth about that. He doesn't drink, but he's producing drink for others.
Mm-hmm.
The condemnation is not so much against the person who drinks as it is the person who provides for his brother to get drunk.
Right.
You know, and again, that's just the type of a situation. So Christian people in America, our listeners need to be thinking about these kinds of things. Where are we? Never mind where is he, but where are we who would choose an individual like that? Who would choose an individual who has no problems abusing others, you know, mm-hmm. and if it's true about the thing that he says that's said of him about the trying to kick the widow woman out of her land so he could put a parking lot for a hotel, and I don't know if all that's true, you know, I mean,
right.
you know, it could be exaggerated.
He had a refutal to it, saying,
but nonetheless, this use of eminent domain is that is something that was put in and allowed in our Constitution in order to be used for the good of the whole.
Right.
And it shouldn't be used any other way.
For a sports stadium or for a hotel.
Any of that kind. Right, exactly.
Right.
For
you know.
Any kind of a personal, no matter how big, how much of a big shot an individual is,
yep.
it should never be used for that purpose. And I know that by personal experience, see, mm-hmm. on the eminent domain stuff, because my grandparents' home place was taken by the government and for a missile testing facility, a
mm-hmm.
situation, the area, the community that my grandparents lived in, the place where I grew up as a small child. It was, of course, that was like heaven for me, you know. I mean, living in those swamps along the Pearl River was the best place in the world for me. I didn't think there was any other place. But nonetheless, it was taken by eminent domain. That whole area was taken by the, it's where the Stennis Space Center is now.
Oh, okay.
If you're driving on 10 between, as you get into Mississippi, or as you go to exit Mississippi going west from getting into Louisiana, it's that right there at the Pearl River, just up the river is where my grandparents live, where they built the Stennis Space Center.
You can't miss it. It says it big on the left-hand side if you're going west.
Yeah, and they put when they first moved in there in the 60s, they put the main office in my grandparents' home until they got their facility, their houses, their offices built and that type of thing. So, but my point simply is, again, that was taken by eminent domain. And it's that to me, that, you know, you couldn't argue too much with that, you know.
Right.
Now, everybody had to go back to the government and sue to get the full price of their property because they lowballed them, you know, mm-hmm. and they just went in there to take it. So, but again, when you have this type of abuse going on, and I'm not saying that was abuse necessarily. Maybe it was, but for the good. But it's closed down now, so I don't know, you know. But again, to take somebody's house to put a parking lot, that's a whole different ball game,
right.
you know. I mean, if you're gonna force them out, or if you're gonna take their house, why don't you just buy it and give them enough money to make it worthwhile?
See? Exactly.
Give them extra, you know. Make it just like if it becomes in high demand, you got one little house sitting with a hotel surrounding it. Well, hey, that person's sitting in a pretty good position, you know.
Yeah, not bad.
But they ought to be the ones to make the decision, not the on the other side of it, governmental abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's not where we really wanted to go today, but. But again, it's this whole idea of abuse and mistreatment of one another that demonstrates the lack of the fear of God in our country once again. There used to be a respect for people, you know. When I mean, when I was growing up, we were a professing Christian home. We were church people. My family was all church people. We all went to church. You'd get your head knocked off if you disrespected an elderly person,
right.
You know. And if you maintained your seat when an elderly person, male or female, but mostly for the females, if mm-hmm. they came in and they were an adult, didn't have to be old, if they were an adult, and you were sitting and didn't stand up and give them your seat, man, you'd
get knocked out.
You'd be knocked nice, out. Let's say it
yeah.
that way. So, but today, no. You look at kids, you know, they want you to give up and get them, give them your seat,
right.
You know?
Right.
And so.
I just sit on my son's.
It's so. it's a whole different ball game today than where we used to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my point again, coming back to election. How did that go? And my point is, coming back around full circle, it's not so much who's running as is what they're standing for,
mm-hmm.
and what we as the populace, what the people are voting in. And I have to say it because of I believe Trump's popularity, Donald Trump's popularity, and his. And it cuts across all a segment of the population
oh, yeah.
so far, you know.
It has been.
Is a reflection of where we are as a people, not so much his abilities or inabilities or whatever it might be, but it's just a reflection of where we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is not in a particular leader, but the answer is in the people returning to God. And obeying God. And when we get in, I don't want to start it before we get into this end of this segment, but when we get into the next segment, I want to bring this back around to religious circles and where we are today in comparison to where we should be and where we once were
mm-hmm.
as a nation of Christian people, a nation of believers, a nation who, not that everybody was saved, not that everybody respected the Bible, but as a general rule, everybody was acquainted with the Bible. We had it in our public school systems.
Right.
You know, we prayed openly, publicly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, everything goes well in a public arena until you mention the name Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, it just shows you where we are and the results that are coming that are coming down the pike as a result of the lack of fearing the true and living God.
All right, join in our conversation, area code 850-994-3747. Looking forward to hearing from you. We'll be back with the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF.
Been to our thrift stores lately? Helping Hand Missions operates 3 stores for your convenience. 6664 Highway 90 in Pace across from Target, 5307 Gulf Breeze Parkway by Highway 399, and our Milton store at 5879 Stewart Street across from King's Middle School. Stop by one of our 3 locations for some great finds and friendly customer service. Enjoy great bargains and the satisfaction of helping the homeless by shopping at the Helping Hand Missions thrift stores. Helping Hand Missions now offers a wide variety of new furniture and mattresses. Why not see what kind of treasure you can find at your favorite Helping Hand Missions thrift store in Pace, Milton, and Midway?
La Hacienda is a local family restaurant that serves the food you love. Since 1996, La Hacienda has been serving authentic Mexican food in this community. You can come and enjoy their great food at these 3 locations, 6471 Highway 90 in Milton, 4601 Highway 90 in Pace, and 8086 North Davis Highway in Pensacola. La Hacienda is a proud partner with Truth Radio WTGF 90.5, the beacon of truth for your community. Todos son bienvenidos. Everyone is welcome.
At Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, we're proud to support Truth Radio 90.5, and we would like to take this opportunity to invite all Truth listeners into our dealership in Milton, where you'll find a warm, friendly, Christian-oriented atmosphere, and where shopping for a new or used vehicle is stress-free. At Milton Dodge, we've been serving this community for well over 20 years, and we are definitely a business that you can trust. Drop by any Monday through Saturday, and we will happily take care of your needs. We're Milton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Milton, and we're here to help.
And welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. We've got a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Yes.
Hello, Jack.
Yes. Yeah, hey, this is Jack. Yeah, I appreciate what Dewey had to say there. I did want to bring out something, though, about Donald Trump from a little bit of different perspective. I think that Donald Trump's, the whole essence of his candidacy, though, is really about trying to turn the tide back in the direction that you're talking about. Even though, you know, he's not a moral man and he's not Mike Huckabee, you know, we had a chance to have a pastor in the office. I mean, Mike Huckabee's a godly man and would have been a fine, you know, president in some respects in terms of morals and values. Donald Trump, I think, though, is combating the political correctness in our culture that has grown, you know, through the 20th century, you know, through liberalism and feminism and civil rights and all that came about in postmodernity in America. He is the guy who is trying to turn the tide back, I believe, in the direction of what you're talking about. It's just that it appears as though it takes some, you know, hardcore nasty dude to get that done. He's the only one who really the electorate, the conservative electorate, foresees as able to get that done, even though he does not model, you know, proper moral values that we would want in a president, you know, as Ben Carson would or as Mike Huckabee would. But the problem is the vast majority of, you know, liberalized American culture will not go for someone who has that squeaky clean Christian puritanical moral type looking character. So Donald Trump, I believe, is actually trying to do the thing that we really want done. It's just that he's just not the most moral guy in the world. He's our commando out there who's actually going to get it done. And I think that's what's behind his rise in popularity.
Why do you think Ted Cruz is the second most popular? And he has a lot of the same views that are similar views. I won't say the same, but similar views as Donald Trump. But I was thinking about this today that, you know, the ones that are getting the most traction, it seems, would be Donald Trump, Ted Cruz on the Republican side, and then Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side, you know, and all of them are outside of the loop. Ted Cruz is somewhat on the inside, but Ted Cruz stands against the Republican Party too much to be too popular among the elite.
I would agree. That's interesting. And I grew up in Texas, and I understand the Texas mentality in many ways. And Ted Cruz does reflect, you know, conservative neo-evangelicalism in many respects, but he also appears to be a slick politician and, you know, a Harvard-trained lawyer, and he has those characteristics that people are not wanting. He has the problem is he has the politically correct tactical maneuvering that people don't like. They want the bombast and in-your-face, straight-shooting honesty that they think they're getting from Donald Trump. At least they think they're getting that. And that's why I think Ted Cruz does not resonate. Also, he's very young. I mean, he doesn't have as much of the kind of track record that a Donald Trump could present when it comes to trade and illegal immigration and dealing with the national debt and some of the things that people are seriously worried about deep down inside. They feel like Trump will bring that safety. But even a guy like Marco Rubio, who appears to be an excellent Christian, young Christian guy, he's also not perceived as strong enough to turn the whole tide back in the other direction, away from political correctness and back in the direction of conservative moral values. I think Trump is the one who's seen as strong enough and savvy enough to get that done, and Cruz is not. Even though he reflects those values, he doesn't appear to have, you know, the gravitas really to get that done, and I think that's why he hasn't overtaken Trump yet.
Well, see, my take on that is that Trump just says, he says things that he's going to do that's not going to happen. You know, they're just not going to happen. And I think Cruz says some of the same things. You know, I just don't, as I said already in an earlier segment, that I don't believe that I'd love to have a flat tax. I'd love to be able to do my taxes on a postcard, but that's not going to happen. I'd love to see the IRS disappear, but that's not going to happen. I mean, he's just not going to be able to do that. They're both saying things that are just not going to take place.
I agree with that to some extent, but let me say what I think Donald Trump does. I read Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, when I was in a doctoral program at a theological seminary. And what Donald Trump is doing is he is negotiating. You start with a radical position, and then you bring it back. And he knows how to do that. He's very artful in how to do that. And I think what you're seeing, though, is just rhetoric. I mean, he knows what to say in order to get people involved. And I think he's also the kind of guy who thinks talk is cheap. I mean, he's the kind of guy who focuses on results. He doesn't care what you say. The bottom line is, what do you do, and what are you ultimately going to agree on? And I think people who support him understand that that's what he's doing. That's why they don't take his claims at literalist value. They instead look underneath to what he's really going to do about the whole situation. And so that's why he can get away with making the outrageous statements he made.
Well, I hope you're right on that. I don't think I agree with you, but I hope you're right in this situation, because my take on it would be that people just don't think. I don't think people think through that much. I don't think they think it. I believe for the most part, people are reactionary, and they are simply hoping against hope that he's going to be able to do what he says he's going to be able to do. You know, like get Mexico to pay for a wall. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I just don't believe it's going to happen. But he's up there making all these statements and again, maybe you're right, and I hope you are. And that's in that respect, that if he does get in there, that, you know, he'll back up and then start being come back down to reality of what really will take place. You know.
Well, you know, again, he's a wheeler dealer guy, you know, and he's a guy. I mean, I personally do believe he'll make Mexico pay for the wall, and he'll do it by totally rejiggering the trade imbalance. But he's a guy who gets results and gets things done, and, you know, he's not into flowery language. And by the way, look at the alternative we have. Listening to politicians make statements, you know, throughout history that they cannot fulfill, all because people want an answer as to how things are going to get done. Donald Trump is not going to tell you how things are going to get done, because he doesn't know himself how he's going to get it done. What he is going to tell you, though, is what he's going to do about things.
But that's the point, though. He can't do it. I just don't believe there's no way that he's going to be able to do all the things that he says he's going to do. And even in some private conversations and behind the scenes, statements have already been made that it's still open for negotiation, you know. So he's maybe you're right, and maybe the art of the deal situation comes in here, where he makes these brazen statements, and then reality sets in after he gets in office. But, and I would hope that'd be the case. I hope that the opposite is not true, whereas he's coming on the scene and he's secretly really out for power, you know, because power breeds a thirst for more power. Money breeds thirst for more money. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that somewhere he really does love America and really does love everybody like he says he loves everybody. You know, every time he gets up, well, he loves everybody. Well, to me, that's more of a that has more of a phony ring than some of the politician statements.
Right.
I have a real suspicion about people who just love everybody, you know. Maybe that's because of my ornery nature, but, you know, that just doesn't ring true to me. I mean, we do love. A Christian should love everybody. I love everybody's soul, and but there's some people I just flat don't like.
You know, I went to seminary in the Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth, and there are a lot of guys out there called word preachers. What they are, they're entrepreneurs who start independent churches, and they're not part of the mainstream. They're not great biblical scholars. You know, they're not even great preachers, for that matter. But let me tell you what they are. They are people who can build an enterprise, and they can pull troubled enterprises out of the red, and they can get things done. They're really good business people who are in the ministry, and he reminds me of guys who are good at that. He's the kind of guy who's not going to tell you how he's going to do it, and the reason is because his talent is his ability to adapt to difficult situations and produce results out of those difficult situations. And he knows that about himself, and I think that's what he's trying to tell everybody, is just trust me. The problem is we don't want to just trust somebody like that. We want people to tell us how they're going to produce the results that they claim they're going to produce. And he can't do that, and he won't do that because he doesn't know exactly. But I do believe that he will try to pay off the national debt. He will try to rid the illegal immigration problem that's dragging down middle-class wages. I think he will try to fix, he will fix the trade imbalances with other nations, and I think he will pull the country out of the red and produce jobs. I do believe he will do that. I just don't know that he knows exactly all of the decisions and the alignment of those decisions as to how he's going to do that. But I believe he's going to do that if he became president. He's not going to sit in president and read. He's not going to read books and go play golf and work on his presidential library. That guy doesn't give a rip about any of that stuff. He is a problem-solver kind of guy, and he's a man of action. He's like a firefighter. He is going to do something about the problems. And I think that people would rather have that than have Hillary Clinton be in office and just talk about, you know, equal pay and just continue to watch the national debt rise and the economy be stagnant and watch us get killed in terms of our trade deficit.
What about people who say that he has some similar characteristics of Adolf Hitler? You know
disagree with that.
Well, but listen, Hitler came in on the scene in a time where the economy was in shambles, where the leadership was in disarray, and had where, from what I understand, they didn't have they run the country into the ground economically, and it was in a mess. And he comes on the scene with all these grandiose promises that he's going to do this and that and the other, and people responded to him initially, and then when he got into power, of course, we know what happened from there. So what about that possibility with Mr. Trump?
Oh, first of all, I agree with you. I think he's the closest thing to Hitler that we've ever gotten anywhere near. Maybe Teddy Roosevelt, but, I mean, he's the closest thing. And, Hitler did turn the economy around. My goodness. I mean, he transformed Germany. Of course, no one knew that he was a total lunatic, that he was going to start having, you know, genocide and then try to take over the world. Well, he said it in Mein Kampf, so they should have known. But I think what Donald Trump is, he is that person who could come in and turn not only the economy around, but the nation around, and return it back to conservative moral values. Even though he is not the personal model for that, I still think he's the only option that could even make that potentially happen.
I can tell you one obstacle to that. There's one major obstacle to that that it may happen temporarily, but there's a major obstacle to that, and that is the lack of the fear of God in the land. You see, and if he turns it back from a natural standpoint, if it's not based on a spiritual mandate, then it has to be on a from a natural ability, and anything that's built from a natural ability standpoint is going to fail. It's going to come to a ruin. See, the only thing I'm convinced that the only thing that's really going to preserve America as the, let me just say it this way. I feel like I'm probably a little bit older than you are. And the only thing that's going to preserve the America that the remnants of what I grew up in, it was on the decline when I was growing up. But, that what I know as a moral society based on Bible principles, he is not going to make that happen. And I don't know that there's anybody in the running that's going to make that happen. Ted Cruz, as I've stated, is the closest thing to that possibility. But until that takes place, we'll continue a downward slide, even though we may have periods of time where we go up a little bit, kind of like the stock market in its erratic form, going up and down and up and down. And I see that as what's more of a reality of what's going to take place, rather than Trump being able to reestablish biblical principles in the land. He doesn't even have a clue as to what the Bible says, so he cannot have any kind of an effect there.
Well, I think what it sounds like you're referring to sort of a Mayberry RFD, back to the Andy Griffith Show, or the sort of the 1940s, 1950s, right after the war and all this. Hey, I understand what you're talking about. I actually think Donald Trump wants to go in that particular direction. I think he can turn the whole tide of political correctness back in that direction, but then all he would be doing is laying the foundation for then godly people to come along and take it further. I mean, he's not going to be able to completely recreate.
My question is going to be, I agree with what you're saying, and his abilities on the natural realm. Where's that godly people going to come from?
Where's the what?
The godly people going to come from to build on whatever he establishes?
Well, the godly people are in the land. It's just that the electorate is not at a place where it's gonna elect a Mike Huckabee. But you know what? After Donald Trump, it might be in that place where then you would be able to elect someone of the moral integrity that a pastor would have.
But the problem with that is when things began to become in disarray, fall apart in a sense, it's going to take some serious business for that to be picked, brought back into a realm of order,
Sure.
I don't see that happening. I personally don't see that happening. Our country, and of course, even in its founding stages and the principles that were established there, they were established out of war, out of, hardship and battle and cruelty, the cruelty of war. And of course, maybe that's what'll happen. Who knows? I mean, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, so I don't know what's going to take place in the future. All of what we're doing now is simply speculating, but I do know this. For the country as a whole to be right, its population has to be right. Its citizens have to return to the true and living God. And what I intended to talk about today, and we haven't gotten to yet, I'm going to take the last few minutes to deal with it, and that is a pseudo-Christianity that I believe exists in the land. And I believe it's probably the major form of Christianity today. You look at our churches, and the biggest churches are the churches like Warren... what's his name? Rick Warren.
Yep.
Churches Houston, Mr. Smiley there in Houston. And I know I'm probably ruffling somebody's feathers, and I'm not intending to do so by crude language. But what's the guy's name in Houston?
Joel Osteen.
Never say anything that offends anybody, smile all the time, love everybody all the time, and all that kind of thing. And that's just not scriptural. The Word of God does not promote such a thing. I believe we ought to be kind to everybody. I believe we ought to be loving. We ought to love everybody. But the Bible has you know, it's very plain on what it takes to go to heaven. And it doesn't take to, a pseudo or a Trump. I don't want to say it that way either. But it doesn't take a gospel that is has no truth to it. You know, it takes the truth of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, for a person to come to know Christ and be born again and go to heaven. And that's what's missing in the land. We've allowed the devil to snatch out from under most all the churches, not all, but most churches today, the true gospel that's found in the Bible. And so I think that's what's missing. We've got people that are trying to make spiritual decisions without the true and living God making those decisions, or being based on a biblical principle rather than, you know, something less.
Well, what I would say to some of that would just be, you know, our founding fathers, they weren't evangelical Christians. They were deists. I mean, Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and, John Adams, all those guys, they believed in God, but they established a nation that was based on the concept of religious freedom, not freedom from religion, but freedom to be religious, you know, as you would determine that. And it is true that our foundation was from the Puritans, and that's basically evangelical Christianity. But on the other hand, if you look at all of our presidents through the ages, they weren't necessarily, you know, the godliest of men.
Understand that.
Some of our greatest presidents were not, you know, super godly men. And so I don't know that the American electorate holds a standard such as that. Instead, I think they want a president who will basically, for example, deal with the moral wrongness of having a radical national debt, for example, or the moral wrongness of other business dimensions that need to be dealt with properly. And I actually think Donald Trump has that sort of a fundamental concept to his thinking, you know, to get rid of debt, to keep corporate taxes low, to allow people to be entrepreneurial. I think the electorate sees that in his approach, even though they know that he is a nasty guy. He is not a great moral guy in a personal sense. They're looking for someone who, though, can turn the tide of political correctness and all the degradation that's come from that in the other direction, so that freedom can be in the land, so that that people can be free to practice their authentic Christianity. And I think that is what is the only hope at this point for the Republican electorate, is to make that happen for that particular, according to that reason.
Yeah. Well, I differ with you on a slight basis there, you know, in the sense that, number one, we've gotten to the place that it's everybody. The main concern is our rice bowl. You know, how is this going to affect me materially? Am I going to be able to prosper materially? That sort of thing. That's not what made America great. America's prosperity is not what made America great. And it was good people. In a sense, I say good people, people following biblical principles in their treatment of each other. When we have freedom of religion in the land, and we were given freedom of religion, that wasn't freedom for all the pagan religions to come flooding in. That wasn't the case. You know, Obama's pronounced the country no longer, quote, a Christian nation. This was founded as a Christian nation, not as a free nation to worship whatever kind of a God that we thought that was out there existed. It was established as a Christian nation and known as a Christian nation for almost 200 years. And so that's where, you know, I don't know that we'll ever get back to that. I think the only thing that would cause us to get back to that would be a true nationwide revival, and I don't know that that'll happen. I'm not sure.
Well, Dewey, you know my theory originally that I communicated several months ago is that I believe at some point the nation is going to break apart, you know, into separate nations, because the reality is that whether you want to call this a Christian nation or not, it is not officially a Christian nation in the same way that England wanted to make, you know, the Church of England the official Church of England. You know, this is not an official Christian nation.
Okay, that's true, but it was...
People are free to worship God as they see fit or not worship God as they see fit. And, I don't know how you create a unified Christianity in a country that fundamentally does not have an official religion.
Okay, but here's the thing. That's true. The way you, and I can answer that for you. The way you create a nation that is known as a Christian nation, not that declares itself a Christian nation, but it had the reputation worldwide as a Christian nation because basically the people followed biblical principles. Not because it had one religion, not because it was designated itself that way. But it followed, this nation followed biblical principles up until probably around the beginning of the last century, for the most part. And I don't mean totally, but the people in general were known as a people of the book, you might say, a people of the Word of God that followed biblical principles. And that's what made us a Christian nation. Not that we declared this that way. Everybody else did. They recognized the influence of Christianity, the influence of the Bible in the land. And that's really the only way that we will have that again is to return to the Word of God. Did we lose you? I guess we did.
I guess he had a dead spot.
Something. Are we still on the air? I hope so.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, but that, again, just to sum up, we're coming down to the end of the program today, and I really believe that part of it, that returning to the, is he still there?
He's back now.
Are Hello? You back, Jack? Are you back?
I'm so sorry, my phone went out.
Okay.
I appreciate the dialogue, and God bless you all.
All right. God bless you, Jack. Thank you for calling. We sure appreciate your discussion. You always have
You're
good
welcome.
Things to say.
God,
all right.
God
you have a good
one. God bless America.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
brother. All right. Bye-bye
all right.
now.
So long. Yeah. Well, again, as we wrap up today, we're kind of coming to the end. I really believe that the only hope for our country, the main hope, again, I don't know that we'll ever be back to where we were, but we could be. And that would be if people would get saved, if mm-hmm. people would, and I'm going to just be plain about this matter, if people would junk their religion, no matter what it is, if it doesn't matter what the religion is, you're Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or whatever we might call ourselves, whatever doctrinal position we might embrace, and return to a Bible position, number one, of salvation. Jesus said you must be born again. And I know that born again term has taken on such a varied meaning. Everybody has their own ideas to what it means. Well, it means exactly what the Bible says it means. And we don't have time to go into that. But take a biblical position relating to salvation, that it's not something you do in order to get God's attention to let you into heaven, but it's something, it's based on what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. And so if we would get back to that and focus on that and understand it clearly, well, say, how do you understand it? Well, study it.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Word of God, a King James Bible, forget these modern translations, and get a King James, and I know that's not popular, but if you'd get a King James Bible, you'd find it easy to understand, simple and easy to understand, and just follow the truth till you get born again, till you come into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then follow those principles, the biblical principles. That's what'll bring us back. That's what'll preserve our land. That's what'll take care of the rice bowl, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's what'll cause our land to have prosperity. I just don't believe that, and I hope and pray that our previous caller was right in regards to some of the things about Donald Trump, because he's very likely going to be the man in place. Maybe. I don't know. I hope not. I personally don't support him. Now, if he's the only one left at the time that, when it comes to the general election, well, he'll get my vote. But it's got to be more than who's in the White House. It's not the man, but the people of the land who make the final call, and that is by honoring the true and living God, by glorifying God in the land. My prayers, we go off the air. My prayer is that the people of God would glorify the God of America, the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wow. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Amen. Until next week, at the same time.